surprised none of you remember him. And he told me, "Hey, Rufus, you need to go up to our church up there in New York." I said, "Boy, that's far. But a person who goes to India and comes back, it's not far, you know?" And I tell people the easiest way to go to India, or not the easiest, you know, the shortest or without money, is to start digging right here, and then you'll end up in India. It's on the other side of the world, you know? So coming to New York, you know, it is a different experience. I had my car broke down on the way. I thought, am I supposed to turn back? My dad taught me faith. He's a man of God, and God called him to the ministry, and he's never looked back. And he taught me faith. He says, "Son, never turn back." Because God did not give us the armor of faith in the back. Because if you run, he's going to get you. So we don't run back. No turning back. You know, that song is written by an Indian. You can read it in your songbook. "I have decided to follow Jesus." You know, when we follow Jesus, we are never promised that everything is going to be fine and dandy. But God is with us, you know. "Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death." So it's always mountains, but there are valleys also. So I want to thank God for bringing me here, you know. My car broke down, and then I could get it on the way. The mechanic said, "You won't make it 20 miles in Emporia, Kansas, 100 miles west of Kansas." Well, I don't think this is 20 miles from Emporia, Kansas. I made it here with God's help, you know. But my car is throwing water right now. In the afternoon, I checked it. So pray for me. You know, I need to go to Canada and then head back down to Dallas and then fly out back from there to India. And I promised to give that car to a friend of mine, and he's a song leader in the church where Brother Frank Reed goes. So I want to thank God for men of God like Brother Frank Reed. I want to thank Brother Carpenter for letting me come in and present our work. Please do pray for our work back in India, and everybody can have their part by praying. That's the best we can do, not the least. Sometimes we say that. But so if you have questions about the ministry, you can ask me later on. And God saved me when I was young, but I was away in the world trying to enjoy, you know, experience what the world is like. But by God's grace, he pulled me back and to put me in his service where I can serve him. And all I can think of is a lot of my friends have died. A lot of them have died because of racing, speed, and drugs, and things like that. But so, who am I to be alive today? Why should I be alive? It's only because of the grace of God. And I can't take the grace of God for granted and go and live as I want to live. But as the grace of God abounds on me, I want to live for the Lord. So that's why God, you know, called me into the ministry, and I have surrendered to serve him. And he's been good to me because he is a good God. The word good comes from the word God. Just stretch God and that's good, you know. And there's nothing bad about God, you know. So I want to thank God for this privilege again. I didn't ask the time from the pastor. I know what he's going to say, but I want him to still say, what time do we finish? 7:15, okay. Thank you so much. A good church always has a clock in the back. And I want to thank God for Brother John Boff. I met him yesterday, and I invited him to church. And I said, "Its name is Friendship Baptist Church. Everybody's going to be friendly to you." I want to thank God for him coming here. And if it, he asked me, you know, a lot of churches are not preaching the blood today. We just sang a song about the blood, you know. And if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, I wouldn't be here. Because I'm preaching a gospel which is the core of the gospel is the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no way of salvation without sacrifice. You know, sacrifice and the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the whole world. How does he sin? How does he take it away? By shedding his blood for the sin of the mankind. So I'll go to a scripture portion. I'm a typical missionary. You might find me. I'm not like the pastor who brought about a beautiful, you know, well-prepared sermon this morning. I'm a missionary, you know, like in the morning I said, I can shoot from my holster. I can shoot from my rifle, you know. So I grew up in Texas, so I know that language too. So I was wondering how come the young people are not talking much to me, because maybe, I don't know, I'm from Dallas and I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan. And before looking at my display, by mistake I kept the bag which I put all the stuff right next to the display. So I'm wondering how come all the young people are not talking to me, because you might be a Buffalo fan or a Giants fan or a Jets fan. So I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, okay? So if you like me or don't like me, it doesn't matter for that sake, because that's the worldly stuff, you know, just to keep ourselves, say something, talk about it, okay? But I want to serve the living God, and I'm doing that in India, because the reason I went to India is because I'm born as an Indian. God made me as an Indian, you know? So the best place for me to serve the Lord is in India. Not that I wouldn't serve anywhere else. I'm willing to serve everywhere, you know, wherever God takes me, you know. And my car broke down. I was very disappointed, because before I even made 450 miles, it broke down. But then I'm glad that it broke down today, because I got to witness to the guy who towed my truck, with my car, to the mechanic's place. And that guy has never heard anyone witnessing to him like that. So I'm so thankful to God that he has broken my van so that I can get in touch with that boy, that guy, you know, and then witness to him about the Lord Jesus Christ and his love. Please pray for him. His name is Brian. He's very much displaced. He doesn't have a father. I told him, we have a father up in heaven. Amen. You know, and then I gave him some literature, and I told him that, you know, don't be disappointed. You know, our Father, our God, the Father, is the Father of the fatherless, it says in 68th Psalm and 4th verse, and the judge of the widows, you know. So there's nobody destitute who has the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have a heavenly Father. And please pray for him. His name is Brian. Hope he gets saved, you know, and then before it's too late. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 5th chapter. This is a portion of scripture I use a lot in my deputation, or I don't want to call it deputation, because when I say deputation, I'm asking for support. No, I want you to pray for us, okay? And if God leads you that way, that's your business and, you know, your budget, whatever. But I want you to pray for us, because God provides where he calls for the ministry, you know, and he's always provided. Our ministry is 37 years old. My dad, he's been on the field since 37 years, and he's still active. If you look at him, you won't think that he's 80 years old, and many people think I'm his brother, or he's my brother. You know, he's got all his hair. I'm thankful to God that I have some accomplices here with Brother Martin and, you know, some friends here. Whenever I come to a church, I look at the pastor, oh, man, he's not mine, because he's got all his hair on. So I look to somebody else for, you know, solace. So I thank God that I have some here, and even Brother John is just like me. So, but I want to thank God for this opportunity again. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5th chapter from 14 to 21. I usually hop, skip, and jump watching the time, okay? What we're doing back there in India, it'll cover this, you know, in this portion. That's why all of us here, this church need not be here if it wasn't for the love of Christ. And it says here, 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. What's the word constrain? It, you know, it puts pressure on you. Is the love of Christ putting pressure on you? It did put on me. It puts on me every day, every time we look at people, you know. The love of Christ, the word of, the two-letter word of, you know, like so, you know, for God so loved the world. Is it how much or what kind? Well, if you look at John, he reiterates it in 1 John 4. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of. So the word so, like a two-letter words, you know, they kind of pose a lot of problems sometimes, you know. For God so loved the world, you know. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So there it's like how much, you know. And then you can go on. So here it says, for the love of Christ. The word, the preposition of, it goes two ways, you know. The love that God, Christ showed towards us on the cross, and the love that he expects us to show him. Remember, God's love, the word agape, is a two-way traffic, not a one-way traffic. Because everyone, you know, oh, God doesn't love me, you know, God wants. But do you love God? In the morning we saw that, you know, we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, not half of it, okay? There's no half measures with God. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, not second or last. God, Jesus Christ, will not be, if our heart has shelves in it, you know, he should be on the top. He will not take second place. There might be another Jesus out there who'll say, it's okay, you know, you go first and then I'll be here for you. No, that's not Jesus of the Bible. That's the Jesus of the world. That's the devil, okay? In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine upon them, you know? That's what the devil is doing. He's just making them say, you're okay, you know, well, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to go to church every Sunday morning and evening and Wednesday. You don't have to. Who told you that? The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. That's a command. If you read the verse, this is Hebrews 10:26, it says, if you sin willfully, Now, I believe that that verse is referring to the very antecedent right on top. It's talking about coming to church, being a part of the church, attending church, you know, serving the Lord in his house. I don't think there are no half measures there. I'm not going into that. But the love of Christ constraineth us, okay? So that it constrained me. And that's what we give to the world. We're not giving religion. There's no point in giving another religion. Christianity is not a religion, folks. Religion is nothing but a repetition of rituals. Repetition of rituals, everybody's got it. Hindu does it. Oh boy, 4 o'clock, he's out there, you know, worshiping his idols. You know, putting all the incense and all that stuff to a photo, you know, or a picture of, or an idol of some sort, you know. It doesn't breathe. They have eyes, but they can't see. You know, the Bible talks about that, 115 Psalm. You know, they that make them and they that trust them are like unto them, it says. 115:8. But, you know, in the West, it's different. You know, we have our own gods here, you know. You know, our rockets and our cars and all these are man-made. You know, we make them ourselves. I know you won't go and worship a cow or an elephant, but we got other things, you know, which are idol worship, you know, basically. We worship them more than God. So here it says, the love of Christ. It is not easy. These little beautiful children, you know, they've recited one of my favorite portions of Scripture, Romans 8, 35 and 38. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? What can separate us from the love of Christ? I'm persuaded, it says. Are we persuaded? We need to be persuaded. There are no half measures, folks. So it is the love of Christ that constraineth us. Now I'm going to jump to 15th verse. Okay? Because I'm watching the time. That he died for all. Now I've not spoken to the pastor about my doctrinal stand, nor did he give me a questionnaire. But I'm going to say this. I believe Jesus died for all. I do not believe that heresy, that he died for a few. I do not believe that is called heresy. I wrote that in a questionnaire to a pastor. He never called me back. That tells me what he might be believing. I believe Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the whole world. Not for a few, but God knows who believes him. That predestination, I do believe that. I do believe in the doctrine of predestination. That God in his knowledge, you know, infinite knowledge, he knows who will be his children. Who will not be, who will be going to hell. He knows it. He's an omniscient God. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus Christ is Lord. He knows everything. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, 10 years down the road, what you're going to do. You won't know what we're going to do in the evening, tonight. But he knows it, everything. So that love of Christ, he died for all. He died for you. He died for me, for my sin. That, why did he die? Yes, we trust the Lord and, you know, we make him our Savior. Sorry about that. That they which live, now that's talking about us. We are all alive. As soon as we got saved, we didn't die, you know, go to heaven. We are still here. So it's talking to us. They that which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Again, that word came, selves. In the morning, we meditated on that. You know, we're living in the generation of the selfie. You know, all the time taking self-pictures and putting them on Facebook, you know, and everybody has to like it, you know. And if they don't like it, you know, you'll go track them around, you know, and say, whoa, this guy didn't like me, so I'm going to unfriend him. That's the kind of world we are living in, you know. And that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. We saw in the morning, you know, that four-letter word self can be put into one-letter word, which is I, the alphabet God hates in the alphabet. He says, I am. It belongs to him. And that word, that letter I or word is the central letter of the word sin in the morning we saw, S-I-N. You don't have to go and be a drunkard or, you know, do all those things, the world things, and that's a sinner. No, just love yourself. You're sinning against God. That's what the Bible's saying. So, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That's what we should be living. That's who for who we should be living for. We saw that in the morning, okay? So, let us get ourselves out of the way. That's when we can honor God really, and that's when we can serve him. And 17th verse, everybody knows it. And I'm going to hop, skip, and jump, like I said. I'm going to spend some time on the new verses down there. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Everything changes. You know, people think, you know, I'll come to God when I change. No, you can't change. You come to God, he'll change you. Amen. Isn't that what we preach? Yes. Religion teaches, you know, do and get to heaven. No, you can't do enough to get to heaven. Amen. Jesus says, I've done it all. Amen. Jesus paid it all on the cross. You can't do anything. Your money, your property, you know, whatever you have will not get you one foot into the heavens. It cannot, folks. So that's what we preach out there in India. And today with this prosperity gospel thing going on, it has crept into India, you know. People are saying, when we preach this old time gospel, you know, they say, well, you guys are preaching the same old stuff. I mean, everybody's preaching something different. Yeah, that is different gospel. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am chief. If it wasn't for our sin, Jesus did not have to come down. He parted the Red Sea from heaven. He gave manna from heaven. He healed them in the wilderness from heaven. He doesn't need to come down to do that. But to save you and me, he had to come in the flesh. Because he had to die in the flesh. To be buried in the flesh and to rise in a glorified body. That's what Jesus Christ is. So he's a new creature, whoever is in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what we praise God about. Here on Sunday we come, Lord, thank you. You know, we praise you. What a God you are. You made me a new creature. You know, and we come here and worship him. And then we go out there and serve him. And then we come on Wednesday to show that we really live by trusting in him. That's what Wednesday service is all about. I tell our folks back there in India. If you know, I mean, unless you're busy, you know, are you doing something? But you know, folks, we can work on that, you know. Nothing, we can be busier than God. We can ask God, Lord, remove this job from me. Give me another one where I can go and serve you, where you want me to serve you. And my dad, you know, he had a government job with 5 children. He left his job to serve the Lord. With nothing in front, nobody supported him, nothing. He said, my God shall supply all my need. Till today, we never starved even one meal. None of us have. And it says here, all things are past, behold all things. And 18th verse, and all things are of God. Everything, what we breathe, the air, and everything, you know, belongs to him. Nothing, David says it nice. Lord, everything belongs to you. What can I give you? That's the way we should be. Everything belongs. What we own doesn't belong to us. So all things are of God. It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. The NIV skips that particular phrase. 100 Psalm. Sing unto the Lord all ye lands, you know. I tell our folks, read 100 Psalm and come to church. If you're feeling down and out, read 100 Psalm and come to church. Just 2 minutes, you know. That should revive you. So, sing unto the Lord all ye lands, you know. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. For what? For what salvation is given us. We can't pay the price for it. So who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ? There is no other way to heaven than Jesus Christ. I am the way because he came from heaven to take us to heaven. Now we have GPS, you know, that's become our God. Now Google is God, you know, today everybody, you know, they don't need God anymore. Oh, we don't need God, you know, we got Google. But, you know, to go to heaven, you know, it's like, you know, back in the old days, you know, 70s, 80s, my dad, I used to go around with him for deputation. And then sometimes, you know, we used to say, hey, brother, he used to call from public phone. Hey, brother, we are here at this McDonald's. All right, be there. I'm going to come and get you. The pastor would come and get us, you know. So people are trying to go to heaven with religion. You know, religion can, you know, they'll make you feel, you know, good. It'll take you to an extent, you know. You'll feel all. You know, the Hindu gurus, you know, all these, a lot of Westerners come there. You know, they shave their head and do Hare Krishna and all that. You know why? They like, they get all that marijuana free over there. Well, now they're making it free because you elected Obama. I can't help it, you know. And you're getting it even here. But a lot of Westerners would come to India because they would get free marijuana. And they would go to these Hindu temples, you know, and the gurus will give them free marijuana. And they'll say, you're going to heaven now, you know. They just make them go high. They're right here, folks. They're sitting right in their seats and thinking they're high, you know. They're not. They're thinking they can go to God by getting high. No, you have to come back, you know, to this ground and do this. And it says, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. So we're not going around sticking religion, Christian religion to people. No, religion doesn't do any good, including Christianity. I think Christianity is the worst religion because it makes it, you know, we have to give them the truth. That Jesus Christ, if it's him or not, then you're not going to heaven at all. Because no man can come to the Father who is in heaven but by me. So we have to give them Jesus Christ. And he says, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. What is the payment that he paid for that reconciliation? The ransom he paid for us, you know? That atonement of himself being crucified and then paying the penalty of our sin, it says, and hath given to us. Now, this is to local New Testament independent Baptist churches. The reason I say Baptist churches is because only Baptist churches have a history going all the way to Christ. You can see the trail of blood we translated there on my display. It talks to you about the history. You know, where did those churches go? See, the Catholic system and the Protestant system teaches you then, well, you know, the early churches died out, and then God raised the Catholics. God did not raise the Catholics, according to me. So then the Protestants came about, and then that's why we have the gospel again. No, then Jesus would be a liar. Because he said, I will be with you. Lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. He told that to the church. In thick and thin, you know, the dark ages, they were killed brutally. But still, we still exist. The same faith. In those days came John the Baptist, you know. He preached in the wilderness. He did not baptize. He did not sprinkle in the eighth day, you know. He did not give them immersion. Baptismal regeneration belief where they sprinkle on little children of 8 days old. No, he didn't do that. He said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. Then he's going to baptize you. That's what he did. So he preached in the wilderness, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what gets us to heaven. Unless we repent of our sin, we don't need a savior. Because the wages of sin is death. And it says, it is appointed unto men once to die, Hebrews 9:27. And then after that, the judgment. At the judgment, if your name is not written in the book of life, you're going. No turning back from there. So how can we escape that? Only through Jesus Christ. And he paid that penalty. He has reconciled us to himself. And look at this. He says, he has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's why we establish local New Testament Baptist churches. It is from the church the kingdom of heaven is supposed to be preached, not any organization. I'm not speaking for myself here. I'm speaking from the word of God. He wrote it to the Corinthians here, Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church was established by Paul after he was sent out from the church at Antioch. We know that. It's in Acts 18, chapter 8, verse. I'm not going to go into the study. But here it says, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We need to be reconciled to God, and then we need to bring others into that reconciliation to God through Jesus Christ only. And then we'll go to 19th verse. To wit, that God was in Christ. That means Christ is God. You know, the Muslims say, Isa Ali Salam. I don't know if you know the Isa Ali Salam. I tell them, no, I don't say Isa Ali Salam. I said Isu Masi. Masi means Messiah. They won't say Masi. They will say Isa Ali Salam. So here it says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. That's what our ministry is all about, folks, here or there, anywhere in the world. And it says, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And that's a big, long subject there. I can't go into that. He did not impute our trespass on us. He has taken our punishment and then he has given us his righteousness. That's what we see in 21. We'll jump there for a second. For he hath made to him to be sin for us. Brother has referred that in the morning. Who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. That's why he's the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the whole world. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what we get from Jesus Christ. So he hath not committed to us our trespasses unto us or to them, and hath committed to us. These are the two things we do there. We go and preach the gospel, establish like faith scriptural Baptist churches. I always use the word scriptural in front of that. And it says, how do we go and restore them to the Lord? With whose word? Like you guys, Americans have elected Obama. By what? By hearing one particular word he used at the time of election. What was that? Change. Yeah, it did change for the worse, you know, I could see that. And but you did, you know, believe that word, you know. Generally, when I say you, I don't mean you went and, you know, voted him, but America did. So what happened was they believed the word change. He's going to come, you know, like the Messiah and change it. No, he didn't. So it says, he hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's why we talk about the word of God. And I believe for the English-speaking people, God gave you a Bible, which is the King James Bible. I believe that with all my... Not one word in this is doubtful. So if a preacher, you know, he gets up and says, well, the King James has translated it erroneously. Just turn the radio off. Close it. It doesn't matter if he's saying the other things okay. Because this book is inspired. I believe it is preserved also. It is preserved, folks. If it wasn't, no, then we don't have the Bible. Now, that is a totally different subject I can, I'm going to get in, but I can't because I don't have the time. It is an issue. And God does not create issues, folks. He solves issues. He brings, gives a solution. He gave us a solution. Who creates the issues? The devil does. That's why we have so many different versions, you know. They're not from the same text as this book. So that's the difference. So we have, we believe the word of God in the King James Bible. Every word of it. Many people say, I use it. I ask them, do you believe every word of it? Oh, well, you know, I've got some doubts. Well, you better deal with that now. Don't go around preaching first. You go and deal with that. Because it says, he hath committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's why we're translating the Bible into the Telugu language. They already have a Bible, which is from the NIV, and further corrupted with all Hindu terminology. Further, they have their three Hindu gods' names in the Bible, in the Telugu Bible. That's why we have decided, since 1995, we're translating the Hindu Telugu Bible. And then that New Testament is already done. The Old Testament, you've seen the slide, you know. It's, we wanted to finish it by 2016, but we're in 2017. We haven't done it yet because it's a meticulous job. Please pray for it. And then it's spoken by 110 million people, Telugu speaking. India has 22 major languages, and there are so many other small languages, about 2,500, they say. So and it's a very confused land. All the people from Tower of Babel walked straight into India. That's what I think. And it says, then what is the name of Babel? You know, confusion. That's what you have in India. They're just confused. You know, there's so many religions. Every man comes up with a new religion every day. They're still not going to heaven. They need Jesus Christ. And they need his word to grow thereby and to be empowered and to go and, you know, grow and go and preach that great gospel. Why? Because 20th verse, it says, now we are ambassadors for Christ. You know, we all want to make it big in life, don't we? But God has already made us big. An ambassador is one who represents your country in another country. And we represent the kingdom of heaven on this earth. What greater position can we expect or desire? So God, help us. Please do pray for our ministry back home in India. And I want to thank God for wonderful churches like this. You know, we need, America needs these kind of churches if it has to get back to the ways of God. Amen. And I'm thankful for this nation. I'm thankful for this wonderful flag here. And I'm thankful for your constitution. It's based on this book. And I thank God for this country, you know. And God made me as an Indian to go back to India and serve that God, same living God over there. So please do pray for us. Please do pray for us. I want to thank Brother Carpenter for letting me come in. May God bless you, your ministry. Everybody needs to get on the bandwagon and, you know, serve the living God. And may God bless America. Thank you very much, folks. Amen.